Well, tonight we're going to continue that same series I just mentioned titled Heroes. And we're going to talk tonight about Moses. We started last week talking about Moses. There is so much. I mean, literally, we could probably preach for 6 months on Moses. We're not going to take that long. We're hopefully going to finish it up tonight, and I'm going to try and touch on some different things. But really, as I read through these stories in the Old Testament, as we go through these together, God is showing us these great men and women of faith and how they applied their faith in God for great things. And so you and I, when we look at that, we can say, well, if God did it for them, how many know he'll do it for me? Say, if God did it for them, he'll do it for me. Look to the person next to you and say, he'll do it for you. Look to the person on the other side, he might do it for you. Say, no, I'm just... But God will do it for every person. The Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If he saves us, then he's got a purpose for us. Come on. And every one of us, you'll hear me say this a couple times tonight probably, you are, whether you know it or not, you are called to full-time ministry. Now, so many times we think full-time ministry, we think, well, I'm not called to preach like a pastor. I'm not called to start a church. Listen, that is not all that gets full. You are a full-time minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are an ambassador of the light of the kingdom of heaven every place that you go. And so you have a call. When you say, Jesus, save me, thank you for your gift, right there, the call of God is going to start to unfold in your life. And so as we look at these stories, we can see that these men and women, just like you and I, so many times we look at these stories in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we feel like they've just floated like 6 inches off the ground. That ain't true. Now, God did miraculous things. Parted waters, calmed the mouths of lions, allowed them to be in a fiery furnace where they didn't burn, didn't even smell like smoke. It's like somebody said, you know, smoking won't send you to hell. You just smell like you've been there. Okay. I won't get too much into Daniel because Pastor Bob will talk something about that next week. But how many know that God has a plan for our lives and he is faithful and just to perform it, and we just have to believe him. Heroes, Moses number 2, Hebrews 11:1. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. He says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. This is really what this whole series is really based on, is faith producing things from the unseen realm, the spirit realm, having them manifest in the natural realm, all right? And so we're using our faith. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the Bible tells us in James that works, that faith without works is dead. Hebrews 12:1, he says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so faith, really, I just want to say this today, faith is the power to live the kingdom life. Faith allows us to say no to sin. You say, what is sin? Sin is anything in our lives that separate us really from the kingdom. I mean, when we think of sin, we always think of the grossest sins, don't we? We always do. So I never killed anybody. I never raped anybody. I never beat anybody up. I stole a paperclip once. I mean, you know, but the thing is, anything that is short of the glory of God, anything that is short of the kingdom really is sin. And the Bible says in another place that that which is not of faith is sin. And so really, faith is the power for you and I to live the kingdom life. Hebrews 11:24 says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. And we said last week, what is it that pulls on your heart? The call of God, what is it that when you see injustice or something in the world, it really tugs on your heart? I'm reminded so much, I'm thinking of Matt and Carrie Martell here, who head up our Munson Dinners ministry. And really, God, their son was in the hospital several years ago. And really, God just moved in a miraculous way. And I think it was somebody that you saw someone bringing a meal or something like that, kind of planted the idea in their heart. I mean, no, then they ran with that because it was something God put on their heart. What is your passion? What stirs you up? What keeps you awake at night? What do you wish you could change? And what you and I do with that pull on us really is important. We can ignore it or we can pursue it. We can ignore it or we can pursue it. And really the biggest question I think we all need to answer is it the kingdom of God or this world that is truly my treasure? Because it says here that Moses chose to suffer with the people of God. That doesn't mean you become a Christian and you suffer. Listen, there's suffering in the world anyway. But he chose, here's the thing. Would you choose to go without something to follow the kingdom of heaven? Now, he meets all our needs, and so we know that, and we talk about that. But am I going to choose, would I choose Jesus no matter what? And really, I think every Christian needs to respond to that. And the way we respond to that is really directly related to whether or not we fulfill the call of God in our lives in full-time ministry. And again, that's every single one of us, how we respond. Now, last week we took a look at how God called Moses and how many know the burning bush experience. And Moses goes and God calls him and he comes near and he worships him there. And God really starts to put the call of God on his life. And we talked about being vulnerable in God's presence. Does God leave me in awe? Or do I just approach God with really kind of a casual relationship? Listen, if our life is casual with God. Now, God, Bible says he calls us friends. How many know that? And so there's a side of fellowship to God that is just beyond this world. But you know, he's God. How many know that? If our relationship is just, I mean, it's like, hey, man, you know, me and Jesus, we're just buds, man. He doesn't care if I get high. Well, now, he may not when you first get saved. But if you've been walking with Jesus for 30 years, you're like, me and Jesus are just buds, man. Your relationship with Jesus might be too casual. All right? It's time to put the joint down. Come on, somebody. All right. Okay. Some of you said, except for special occasions, right? No, no, put it down. Put it down. All right. So tonight we're going to continue this story looking at Moses and the call of God and how God was faithful to Moses. And if he's faithful to Moses, how many know he'll be faithful to you and I? Exodus 4:1. It says, then Moses answered and he said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. He's talking to God. God's telling him, I want you to lead my people out of bondage. He's saying, but suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. Listen, when you step out into the call of God, you are going to feel like, well, suppose they don't believe me. Well, suppose if God doesn't move. But you know, you got to walk out in that anyway and believe God. You got to believe God. And there's some keys we see to what God responds to Moses on how you and I should respond to the call of the Lord. You and I need to learn, first of all, to trust his voice. Trust his voice. Don't worry about what other people think. Don't worry about what other people will say. Just believe God and what he's calling you to do. And here's the thing. He is going to use who you are to make what you'll become. He is going to use who you are to make what you'll become. And what I mean by that is don't get all nervous. It's like Moses here. Well, suppose they don't listen to me. We have every reason in the world to say, well, God, me? Have you looked at me lately? Because here's what we do. We either think that whatever we're looking at is too small that God doesn't care, or it's so big that God can't possibly do it. Both are somewhat true. Because God takes the small things and makes them big. So in your weakness, you may say, well, God, I can't do this. He knows that, all right? You just need to trust him. Matter of fact, I want to look at a scripture here. I'm going to give you time to pull this up, Aaron. 2 Kings 4:2. We got to realize that God will use what we have. Don't worry about how little it may be. Don't be blown away by how big a call God may be putting on your life. Because here's what happens. We think, boy, that is so big, I could never do it. I still remember when God called Trish and I into the ministry, just a couple of weeks after I got saved, 23 years ago. And we're driving up to her mother's. And you got, I mean, I've shared my testimony. I was transformed. I mean, you know, we're talking, you know, drug abuser, alcoholic, been through a failed marriage on my way to failing the marriage that I was in. Just lost without God. I go from that and all the great things that go along with that kind of lifestyle to driving to Trisha's mother's house and saying, I think God's calling me to pastor. And Trish just looked back at me and said, okay. And we're both like, whatever that means. I mean, seriously, because we had no idea. I had no idea what God was going to do. And how many know? It's been a journey ever since. Hello. Okay. It's been a journey. But you got to realize God wants to do something way beyond you, but he's going to start with whatever it is that you think may be little or insignificant. 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to start to read in verse 1. And we may look at Elisha at a later series, but this really applies tonight, so I wanted to read a portion of Scripture. He says, one day the widow of a member of the group of the prophets came to Elisha. This is the New Living Testament. I should have said that. I apologize. If we can get the New Living Testament up. One day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, my husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord, but now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. How many know this is not a good situation? Husband dies, creditors are coming saying, we are taking your boys. Well, that is not a good place to be. What can I do to help, Elijah asked. Tell me, what do you have in the house? I want you to think about that. What do you have in the house? God will always start with what you have, and he'll build on that and multiply it. All right? Look at this. She says, nothing at all. Isn't that how we view what we have? One translation says, nothing but. Nothing at all, he says. Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil, she replied. See, we say nothing at all, but then she answers, I have a flask of oil. She had something. It reminds me of when Jesus fed the multitudes. How many are familiar with that story? They say, all we have here is a couple fish and some loaves of bread, but what are they among so many? Isn't that what the disciples say? Jesus says this. In one translation, he looks at it, he says, it's sufficient. Bring it to me. You know what you have in your hand is sufficient for God to start to work in your life? It's sufficient. The problem is we're not doing the right thing with it. Look what she says. Elisha says to her, borrow as many empty jars as you... Isn't that interesting? Borrow empty jars. All you got is just one little jar. He says, borrow empty jar. Now, what is an empty jar going to do for me? God's getting ready to do something. That's what it's going to do. He says, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors, then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it's filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to, say full. Say full. Remember, this started with nothing but a flask of oil. Soon every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more, he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. And then the olive oil, whoo, that's a good one right there. The olive oil stopped flowing because they were out of jars, not because God's sufficiency was not enough. God's sufficiency is always enough. Always. 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 And so this is really a precept or a concept, I should say, that you see all through the Word of God. If you and I will just trust God with what it is that we have in our hand and allow him to start to move. I mean, think about it. In the case of Moses, who we're looking at tonight, he was trained by the Egyptians. I realize all that. But for 40 years, he was a shepherd. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a shepherd. But God took a simple shepherd to lead. I don't remember the numbers. I didn't look them up. It is a lot of people. The Egyptians, I mean, it was millions of people. It was a lot of people. A shepherd. All right. Let's read on verse 3, Exodus 4, 3. And here's what God says about the rod. He says, I have nothing but this rod. He says, take your rod. He says, now cast it to the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. I love this. First, if you're bold enough to do what God says to do with what you have in your hand, I mean, I bet this happened to a lot of us. God says, I want you to sow a certain amount of money. We take it. All I have is this, but it's sufficient. You take that money and you put it in the plate, and all of a sudden you are filled with stark terror. I mean, come on, you know, it's like that. He was afraid of it. He says, well, God, what's a serpent going to do? All right? But the thing is, when God starts to speak to us, when you get a hold of God and start to see what he wants to do in your life, it is going to scare you. You are going to think there is no way. But listen, don't let that stop you. I mean, just back to finances. I mean, so many people really cut off the arm of God by saying, well, I don't have enough. I could never tithe or I could never give that much. Listen, What do you have? You may say, well, I can't serve in ministry. I know they need help in children's church, but children's church? Huh. Have you seen me lately? What do you have? If you're willing, you may say, well, God, you want to use me in the midst of these people that I work with, the most ungodly place I know of in Traverse City? Have you seen me lately, God? You want me to do what? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got the right person. He's got the right person for the job. But you got to realize that he is working in you to will and to do his good pleasure. You and I have got to let go of what we have in our hand. We've got to allow God to take what we have. Because here's what happens. It says, when we started, remember, it says that Moses left the Egyptians and the passing pleasures of sin, all right, to suffer with the children of God. Am I willing to let go of what I have for what God has in store for me, even though I don't see it right now? All right? It may scare you. Your trust and my trust cannot be in what we have or what we do not have or what we have or have not done. It has got to be in God's sufficiency and just use what we have and believe God for an increase. We need to look beyond our inabilities, resources, and fear and realize that our ability is in him. Verse 4, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Now, Trish loves snakes. How many just love snakes? Daniel, you love snakes. Daniel's like the snake catcher over here. All right. He's had some practice with that. He's had some snakes in his basement. But he reached out. He grabs this snake by the tail, and it became a rod in his hand. So you see that as soon as you let it go, God is going to do something supernatural. And God uses this rod, by the way. We're not going to look at all of it. We'll highlight it tonight. Really, every time he moves in Moses' life, it's through this rod. And there's a lot of things we can say about the rod, but I just want to apply it to us and how this applies to our call, all right? It means authority. We'll just leave that one there for you. God's authority. And he takes it, and God, supernaturally, it becomes a serpent. As soon as he touches it again, it becomes a rod again. We got to understand that whatever it is that I have that I'm giving to God to use, that in my hands, it's just whatever it is. But when I give it to God, it becomes something miraculous. When I take it back again, it becomes something just natural again. All right? So now God, we're not going to read all this, but in verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, God starts to say, look, this is how I'm going to show them that I've called you. He tells him, put his hand in his bosom. It becomes leprous. He takes it out, puts it back in. The leprosy leaves and all these things. We're not going to look at that. But God says, here's a series of miracles that I'm going to work so that they will believe that I am with you and that I've called you to deliver my people. But you know that Jesus has given us signs. Jesus has given us Holy Ghost powers. Come on, somebody. In John 14:12, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he'll do, because I go to my Father. And we got to believe that. That should be one of our life scriptures in this church. God is doing greater, greater things. Exodus 4, verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent. How many know he has an excuse for everything? God shows him he's going to use a miraculous move. He's going to turn this rod into a snake. Tells him, I'm going to do these different signs to show them that I am with you. And he still says, yeah, but Lord, I can't talk. Well, he's doing a pretty good job right now. but, all right? He says, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. What do you say about yourself? You need to change what you say. You need to change what you're saying about yourself. Because look what God says in verse 11. And the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Don't you think God knows? It says in Jeremiah that God has a right to make a pot this way or make it that way, that we're just clay in the potter's hand. Come on, somebody. God has a right to work in our lives, and he has made us, and he knows us. He says, who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Listen, we don't need perfection for God to use us. Go do what God has told you. Go reach out to your world. He's going to tell you what to say. Remember, last week we talked about how God said to Moses, Moses said, well, who am I going to tell them sent me? And he said, tell them, I am sent you. I am that I am. It means breath of existence. breath of all creation, always has been, always will be. Remember, he is with us. He empowers us to really touch the world. 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, are you in anyone? Is anyone in anyone here tonight? Anyone in anyone? Is everybody in anyone? Yeah, I think everybody's in everyone tonight, right? If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Wasn't that interesting? Some religions think that only one person can be the oracles of God. Some religions get confused because they think there might be two and they don't know what to do. It says, if anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belongs the glory and the dominion forever. How long? Forever and ever. So the glory, the dominion, all right? That means he's in charge. He is in charge. But if we minister, it says, do it with the power that God gives. You've got to believe that God is working in you to will and do his good pleasure. So God brings deliverance through Moses. And we see, we're not going to read all these tonight, but you see the plagues that he starts to go and he says to Pharaoh, let my people go. He says, I don't think so, not today. And so he turns the rivers, all the rivers red with blood. And Pharaoh says, I don't think so. And the Bible says his heart just became hard. I remember one time, I think it's with the frogs, he says, will you let our people go? He says, if not, these are going to stay here. He says, you know, you can leave these frogs one more day. I'll let you know tomorrow. I mean, no, that's a hard heart. Hard heart. And so all these signs come, plague of frogs, plagues of lice, plagues of flies, diseased livestock, boils. I mean, no, this is not good. Plague of hail, plague of locusts, darkness, death of the firstborn. And every one of these we could preach a message on, but we're not going to tonight. All I want us to see tonight is one of the main things I really believe that God was doing. And I'm going to turn to Psalm 91 here, if you want to get that up, because I want to read a couple of verses. One of the things that God is doing here is I believe he is showing the children of Israel that if all hell breaks out loose around you, I will still deliver you. Nothing. I mean, all the whole time that these plagues are going on, God is faithful to protect his people. Let me just say tonight, whatever you're going through tonight, whatever you're going through right now, God is protecting you. God has not forgot about you. I was just talking to my wife today, and my oldest son, talked to him a little bit. We've got some challenges. Life just has challenges. You know, it's time, opportunities for improvement. FYIs. Or whatever that is. Yeah, OFIs, right? Opportunity for improvement. Yeah, OFI. FYI. That's the place, or FYE, that's where you get music, okay. And FYI is for your information. We could just keep going on and on here, couldn't we? Won't. IOU means you owe me some money. Okay. LOL. Laugh out loud. And you are. All right. Where was I? Oh, yeah. And so we're talking. And the thing is, whatever it is you're going through, God is preparing you for where he wants to take you. Today, what you're going through. So I was, you know, for 2 days, three, almost three full days, I'm telling you, I had something trying to take my health away. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. Trying to tell me I'm going to have a fever, trying to tell me. It's like, I know you. You're a liar. And, you know, so I just have to be sensitive to the Lord and just do what he's telling me to do. I know what his word says. So I keep confessing it, keep believing it. Walk by faith and not by sight. And I was talking to my son about a challenge he's going through and texted him and just encouraged him with some things. And so today I just had this revelation that, you know what? Whatever this challenge is, it's bread for me. It is bread to take me to where God is getting me, because I'm going to eat this up. And I was just saying, devil, I'm going to eat this up. Whatever you throw me, I'm going to eat it up. And I'm going to eat it up because it is going to take me and all that I need, all the strength that I need for tomorrow. Come on, somebody. One of the things that God did with the children of Israel is when they were in the desert for 40 years, he fed them manna. Remember, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of... How many know that's bread? So whatever your challenge is, you eat it up. Eat up the word of God. Take that challenge and say, God is preparing me for greater things. And why? Because I'm better than this situation I'm going through right now. God has a call on my life that is better than what I'm in right now. And I'm eating this up, and I'm eating God's word, and I'm getting to where he's taking me tomorrow. Now, God protects you. Psalm 91, I want to read this before I forget. When all hell is breaking loose around you, yeah, we say that in this church. Why not? People say it and use it wrong all the time anyway. So we'll just use it right in this church. Somebody said amen. Amen. Psalm 91. There is a hell. I'm glad I'm not going. How about you? Amen. All right, Psalm 91. All hell is breaking loose. But listen what he says. I was going to start in verse 1. I don't know. We'll just read. Verse 1. NLT again, Aaron. New Living Testament. Psalm 91. He says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone, say alone, is my refuge, my place of safety. Listen, when all hell is breaking loose around you, get to your place of safety, people. Come on. Get to your place of safety. God told the children of Israel, he established the Passover. Again, we're not going to look at all this in detail because we just don't have time in this series. But they ate the Passover, and he said, I want you to take that blood, and I want you to put it on the lintel of the door. Put you on, and when I pass by, I will not touch you. All right? It says that he's our refuge, place of safety. It says, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. How many know? Put on the armor of God. All right? Verse 5. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day. Do not dread the disease that stalks you in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Here's where I wanted to get to. This is great. Verse 7. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. You know, and I believe what God was showing them, there's so many things we could look at, but the one thing I believe Holy Spirit wants us to look tonight is as God was delivering them, and all these plagues are being poured out to try and get Pharaoh to let the people go, God was showing them, I am with you. I am faithful. Even though all this stuff is going wrong in the land, I am faithful, faithful, faithful. So finally, when the death of the firstborn happens, Pharaoh's convinced to let them go. He lets them go. Children of Israel start to go, and they start to come up to the Red Sea. If you ever saw the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, you know what the sea looks like, jello, all right? And so they get there, and here's what they don't show you in that movie, but they get there, and they all say, what are we going to do now? Did you bring us out here to kill us? Are there not enough graves in Egypt? You going to drown us? You know, here we go. Here we see God has just delivered them from 10 plagues. Let me know. 10 plagues showed them his faithfulness. Egypt, all the Pharaoh of Egypt has let them go, let them out of their bondage, and they still don't trust God. Isn't that how we are? Isn't that how we are? And this is such a picture of our salvation. We are delivered from bondage, but as soon as we face that first challenge sometimes, well, I don't know. Maybe God can save me. And you know, a lot of denominations stop right there. Well, God can save you. Matter of fact, I was reading some stuff, and there are multiple denominations. Multiple. And we're going to talk more about this on Sunday. We're getting into some of the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit and things like that. There are multiple denominations today, alive today, thriving today. Now, thriving for now. That really are teaching that these gifts are not for today. Matter of fact, there are denominations that have taken the gifts that are listed clearly in the Bible. And they said, well, these are not for today, but now we have these other gifts. And they list 6, 7, whatever they want to do. And they're not even in the Bible. You could take the principles and tie some scriptures to it. But it is not, I mean, clear. When we take something that's clear in God's word and we say that's not true anymore, but this is what's true, how many know we're in trouble? We are in trouble. But so many denominations say, well, God saves you now, but he doesn't heal. He doesn't deliver. He can't help you with your finances. Whatever you're going through, just suffer through it because that's your cross to bear. That is not your cross to bear. Your cross is your call. Your cross is to follow Christ. Deny yourself, take it up, and be like Paul said. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In this life that I live, I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. And then we live that. That's living your, that is not, well, this sickness is my cross. No, that sickness is from the devil, and you are healed by Jesus' stripes. And that's what you need to believe. So they get to the Red Sea, and they're there, and they're like, what are we going to do now? Verse 13, Exodus 14. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's a word for somebody tonight. Whatever you're going through, you stand still. The Bible says in the New Testament, it says, having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your waist girt about the truth. Ephesians chapter 6. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Don't be shaken. Don't be moved. Continue to believe God, because He's faithful. How many know that tonight? It says, see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you. For who? Say, yeah, for me. You guys got that. Say, me. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see, you shall see again no more forever. How often? Forever. No more forever. That means never. It's a long way to say never. We'll just say never. Okay. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You see this a couple times in Scriptures. Here's one place. You see it with Jehoshaphat and a couple other places. It says, stand still and see the deliverance or salvation of the Lord. These enemies of yours that you see today, this is a word for somebody, you will not see them anymore. They are gone. Say, bread! I was saying that around the office here today while I'm getting my complete healing and just starting to feel better. Because this morning I felt better, but then I thought for a couple days I just laid kind of low and I wasn't working out and stuff. And so today I thought, no, I'm going to sweat. I'm going to sweat this because I was afraid I didn't have enough energy if I did it a couple other days. And today I worked out, got done, took a shower, came into the office, got to the office. It's like, oh. I said, bread! And I'll tell you what, throughout the day, just got better, better. No fever, no cough, no congestion, nothing. So whatever you're facing, you shall not see it anymore. It says here, the Lord will fight for you, and you will hold your peace. Listen, your past is gone. You need to walk in peace, stand still, and behold the deliverance of God. It tells us in 1 John chapter 4 that perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Exodus 14. Verse 21, he says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Now, it's funny, because sometimes this is how we think, don't we? We see, oh yeah, story, God parts the waters, and we think, oh, yay, let's just go, man. Okay, I don't know about you, but if I saw waters parted, I would not be so quick to get in there. Think about it. Man, that's faith. Faith goes. God says, go, you go, and you're like, can you imagine that? You're walking, it's like fish, crab, lobster, dinner, Krabby Patty, what, Sam? Okay. SpongeBob, oh, okay. But they're walking. It says that they got in the midst of the sea. Listen, you got to get into your problem. You got to believe that God is parting the water. You got to step in there, and it's going to be dry ground. Come on, somebody. And that whole walk, I mean, that was a ways to go there, people. All right? They had to walk across this whole sea. All right? I got the figures on that somewhere. I didn't want to take time in this series to get into that. But it was a ways to go. It was a ways to go. The waters could have crushed them, but they won't. Because what? God is your deliverer. Exodus 14:30. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the land of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. God wants you to see the deliverance, the victory, the breakthrough that he's got for you. And when we walk by faith and not by sight, and we go through whatever it is we're going through, and we walk on dry ground in the midst of fish, lobster, the sea, we're going to cross over on dry ground. And when we get to the other side, God is going to show us the great victory that he's got for us. Someday, whatever it is you're going through, you are going to take that, and you're going to say, this was the faithfulness of God. Whatever you're doing, you're believing God, you're in a challenging situation, God has called you to do something, and it's taken all the faith you can muster up. I had someone call me the other day, and they said, what do you consider would be an unordinary offering? Something unordinary. You know what? Sometimes we need to do things that are just a little bit out of the normal. Some things that are just a little unusual. Because God wants to move way beyond our ordinary. How many know that? But we got to get in that water, man. We got to believe God. There's another place with the children of Israel crossing the Jordan, and it says in the Bible that the priest's feet had to touch the water before it even went back. Say, that's faith. All right. God wants you to see the great work so that many will fear the Lord. We'll go a little bit further tonight. So the Lord supplies supernaturally for the children of Israel. Again, we're not going to read all this. You can read through Exodus on your own. He provides manna, quail, even water from a rock. He leads them with a fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. He continues to defeat their enemies. But there's one spot I want to look at where really we learn that it takes others to hold up the hands of the man of God. We need each other for complete victory. How many know that? Every part doing their part. I mean, so many times we've gotten into it, really, we've gotten into this mindset, not so much in this church because we just got some great people. But so many times in denominations, we think, well, that's the pastor's job. Well, that's the pastor's job. Well, that's the pastor's job. Well, no, it's everybody's job. And how many know the pastor gets tired? Children's church workers get tired. Ain't that right? All right. We need some help. All right. Maybe you can help out. But I want to read this here because for complete victory, every part needs to do its part. Exodus 17:8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." There's that rod again. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Well, that'd be comfortable. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Let me just say this. The body of Christ will never reach her full potential until everyone does their part. As I read this, that's really what it speaks to me. Because what you see here is you see soldiers or men that have to fight the battle. Okay, those warriors. And we're all called to fight, by the way. But there's warriors that have to fight. There's a prophet who needs to hold his hands up for the blessing of God. But then there's others who have to hold his hand up. Listen, everyone has a part to play. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the person next to you. Well, first, let's do this. Everybody just stick your arms up in the air. I want you all to hold both arms up in the air. Just hold, where we are, hold them up. I can't do both because my mic's in one. So just like that. All right. How many, we're not going to do this for too long because some of you won't be able to. You start to feel your arms get a little fatigued there, everybody? Starting to get a little, some of you people have been lifting weights. It's like, nah, this ain't nothing. This is bread, man. It's bread. All right. Okay. Now I want you to grab the person's hands next to you. All right. Those of you on the end, just let your hand down or somebody else grab it. Do you see how much easier that makes it? I will never forget. I was in a small prayer chain just a couple of months ago. Small prayer group of people, about 10 of us. And we were praying. Do you see how much easier that is? It's amazing, actually. It's amazing. You can put that arm down, Sheila. Okay, you can all put your arms down. But I remember we were all praying, and we started to just hold arms up. Justin, you were there. You remember this. And we were doing it, and we're praying. And I'm telling you, it was amazing. We never, ever could have done what we did, held them up there that long. But because we were helping each other, listen, when many people do the work, it lightens the load. And so really, we'll talk more this weekend because I'm running out of time, but we're going to talk a little bit really about the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the call on the body of Christ. Because if we're going to be a supernatural body, and I believe that's what God wants to do, how many are onto that? How many want that? It is going to call, it's going to really take everyone doing their part, seeking God, fasting, praying. I mean, this is going to be a church like no other. I believe that with all my heart. Praying, seeking God, believing God, walking in the supernatural, getting involved in ministry, talking to people in the marketplace, witnessing to people that we work with, praying for people, seeing miracles happen. But it's going to take us doing everything God's called us to do, all in the church as well as where we work, where we live, where we play, where we reach out and touch the world. But it's going to take every one of us believing God, looking at what we have and saying, God, I know it doesn't look like much, but in your hands, come on, somebody, it's enough to get the job done. And when we partner together, we reach the lost for Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray together tonight. Father, I thank you for the word of God tonight. I thank you, Father, it's been sowed on good hearts. Tonight, I pray for an increase, 30, 60, 100-fold. in every life that was touched here tonight. Now, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to pray for you. Not asking you to join the church. We're not asking you even if you go to church. We're asking you if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are on your way to heaven. We don't want you to leave tonight and wonder if you're going to make it. Because it's this simple. You don't have to get right with God by your own merit. It's as simple as saying, Jesus, I believe you paid the price. Because listen, the Bible says there is not one righteous man, not one, in the eyes of God. But in Jesus, he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we could be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, that you'll be saved. It's that simple. Because Jesus completed the work. So if you're here tonight, I don't want you to leave wondering if you're on your way to heaven. And I've got some information I'd love to give to you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, on the count of three, I want to see your hand if you want to pray that prayer so I can give you the information I just mentioned. So you can leave and understand what the Bible says from a biblical perspective of what salvation is. Say, Pastor, that's for me. Please pray with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Lift your hand quick. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm born again. Everyone here is on the way to heaven. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now may the God of all peace fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in peace by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Just look this way. If you're a first-time guest with us, we have something we